No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the, what's the date? 11th day of October. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to be here with you. We are winding this week down together. Let's do this. Wind it down together as we continue in the Gospels together. Today we read Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. And then we're going to flip over to Luke and read chapter 7. Today's the last day in the New International Version. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children." When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Jesus, we thank you for your word today. May we all see ourselves as this woman who came and did the unthinkable and washed your feet with her tears, who sat at your feet. May we all see ourselves as sinners in need of a savior. None of us are worthy to come and sit at your feet, God, but those of us who are hungry, you will feed, because you are the bread of life. You are eternal life. You are the truth, the life, and the way. And may we reserve our judgment for those who seem maybe a little differently unworthy than us. And may we see them through the eyes of love that you saw each and every person that you went to. You saw them with compassion, with mercy, with grace. And you met them with willingness, with acceptance, and with love, knowing that you, your love, had the power to change them. Thank you for who you are, and for loving each and every one of us. Thank you for this week together in your word. May it be sealed, and may it be sealed within our hearts, and come out overflowing to all that we encounter. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
So welcome back to another, I guess, installment that we're trying to do daily from this grand adventure.
Day two. In Istanbul.
Istanbul, is correct. So how are you doing with the jet lag?
I'm pretty okay at the moment.
Yeah, I'd say we're more than 50%. Yeah. So we got like quite a bit of, well, I wouldn't say we, I mean, the sleep is disturbed and everything and it's a little messy, but.
Yeah, when you say we, you should probably just say you, because I was watching you for a little long time sleep last night.
Yeah, I stayed up really late trying to get all this together, this little routine that we're going to do, because we literally have a rotating studio that we have sitting in front of us, wires everywhere, and just getting the routine.
It sounds glamorous, doesn't it?
That sounds so much more glamorous than it is, but this is how we're doing this, so that we're not alone on this trip.
Yeah.
And so, thanks for being back here. This was a day to just get acclimated. We have very aggressive schedule. Mm-hmm. And we kind of had the first half of the day just to go slow, and we did, and then kind of jumped in slow, but man, surprises today. Right? So, yeah. The Bosphorus River did not know all this. The Bosphorus River runs here between two seas, the Black Sea and, well, ultimately the Mediterranean. And it's this river, and it goes right through Istanbul. Mm. And Istanbul is the only city in the world that is on two continents.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So part of the city is in Europe, and part of the city is in Asia.
Yeah.
And that was trivia for the day. And we got to get on a boat and ride for a couple hours on the Bosphorus River and really learn a lot. more than we could remember, but just to really see, you know, the times from the Ottoman Empire and just some of the construction and just the antiquity and how ancient this city actually is, how far it actually does go back.
Yeah, and that on the Istanbul side, it's very lovely and sunny.
You mean the European side?
The European, yeah, sorry. I'm fading fast here. The European side, it was sunny, beautiful, I just had a t-shirt, sweatshirt wrapped around my waist. And then when we turned and headed for the Asia side, we all got chilly.
Isn't that weird? Like
it was so weird. And then the strangest thing about, well, it's not the strangest, but one of the cool facts is I guess when you have more money than you know what to do with, you build a house on one side of the lake, river. What was it?
The Bosphorus River.
The river. And then you build a winter home on the other side of the river. And I was like, really?
How,
like,
these sultans did all this? Yeah.
Like, they had more money that they had to go across from each other, like multiple homes. And then when we hit the Asia side, I was like, okay, now I see it.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's cooler on the other side.
Yeah. Not cooler like hipper. Yeah. But like cooler like
temperature.
It's cold.
Yeah. So summertime over there and wintertime in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is cross the river.
You just got to cross the river and pack a whole lot more clothes on one side than the other.
Sounds more glamorous. Yeah, I spend my winters in Asia and I spend my summers in Europe.
Yeah.
When you're just crossing the river. So that's just trivia. Like, it doesn't have anything to do specifically with the New Testament or the Bible. But this city does. Mm-hmm. Not so much the Bible, but this city certainly has massive implications in church history, because Istanbul used to be called Constantinople. And Constantinople, well, very, very pivotal. And we learned some of that information today. At one time, it was called Byzantium because it was the capital of the Byzantine Empire, which is, you know, man, there are Byzantine ruins all over the land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All over the land. When that was the empire, ruins from that, those times are everywhere. And so that is this city. And then, as I'm understanding it, the name was changed to Constantinople when Constantine, the emperor of Rome, converted over. And that was in 330 AD. So going way back to very, very, very early church history. And he dedicated this city as the new Rome, Constantinople. And man, and there's just so many ancient church councils that happened here. Councils from Constantinople. And, like, for example, the first Council of Constantinople confirmed the Nicene Creed, which is something that we'll probably talk about more in the next day, because we're going to Nicaea to actually see where the Nicene Creed was decided. And that really did solidify statements and beliefs about the Holy Spirit. And then the Second Council of Constantinople, which was in 553, really, there was a lot of debate about the nature of Jesus, and by church council there was really seeking out of what his nature was, and fully God, fully man, as we understand that. Like, we just are like, that's always been that way. Well, that actually was a church council.
Yeah.
And that happened here in Istanbul.
And I know that when you're not there, you know, we're here and you're there listening. And when you're not here, it can be hard to catch some of this stuff. But I learned these things a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed some things for me.
Yeah.
Church history is essential, I think. It's an essential piece to our faith. Not everybody gets the luxury, the privilege of learning about it. But I hope everybody can take a little bit something away that's listening, because these things really are foundational to what we believe. And I talk about a lot on chronological, but It's when you listen to the Bible and know God by knowing God's words through his word, knowing who he is, where our faith becomes our own.
Yeah.
It's, we can't get by with a hand-me-down faith any longer. And even realizing, you know, where we came from, how some of these things were established, where they were established, why they were established, that they're not in the Bible necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But scholars got together and debated it out peacefully and voted on some of these things.
I mean, that's crazy, but that's the story of the faith as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us just don't know it and how we got here. And that allows us to wrestle with how we got here. And that's part of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible says.
Yeah, and I truly don't mean any disrespect, but the statement is true that we will argue till we're blue in the face over our beliefs that we're completely ignorant on how we got them.
Yeah, how we got here.
And fight people over them. And we're doubling down on bits of information that we don't know how to explain for ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
And so when I learned, you know, church history and some of these things, especially like the importance of Nicaea, it changed the game. And interestingly, we haven't talked about it yet, where we were today, and I don't know if you intend to, but our tour guide, I found it so refreshing, like she didn't know much about the Bible.
Yeah.
So she's just coming from a historical place, and she's asking, or she's giving bits of information, and I'm like, she does not understand that what she's saying is the story of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New.
Yeah.
And, you know, a new ruler coming in, being ruled by their ego, by power, by position, and wanting to rid everything and everybody of the last ruler.
Yeah.
And so they come in and literally will just start scratching away things that are engraved into, you know, markers and monuments that are just memorializing, just to do away with it.
Yeah.
So that I can not even put God's name anywhere.
Yeah.
So that the ruler's name could be.
Yeah.
And I just kind of chuckled, like, to myself, silently chuckling inside, if you will, that she didn't know that what she's saying is literally the story of the Bible. Like, history will always repeat itself.
Yeah.
And we don't even know the history. So it's very eye-opening. God says, don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't forget where you came from and what I did.
Write it down. Make a memorial. Yeah, don't forget. Before we get to that thing that you were just alluding to, because that was really the big...
Huge
today. Constantinople. I mean, there were, in church history, there are these things called the Crusades. And everybody's probably heard of those, which was kind of an attempt to regain the Holy Land and recapture Jerusalem, et cetera, et cetera. But
not to be confused with your children's crusade.
Yeah, not to be confused with any of that. No.
That happened with, like, you know, Uncle Stanley coming with his puppets to tell people about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not that kind of crusade.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Very, very dark chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark chapters in church history. But the Fourth Crusade destroyed Constantinople. Like, these are Christians invading another, you know, Christian capital city and pillaging and destroying and burning and killing and raping and very, very dark, dark, dark chapter.
Evil.
Very evil here in Istanbul, Constantinople, as it was called then. And the memories, you know, obviously we're dealing with a historian, and so, but man, there's just that rift, that injustice. it's like it's still reverberating.
Mm-hmm.
From all of these, you know, from 1,000 years ago. And so that is some of the rich history. So not specifically New Testament history, but this is just where we've landed and where we're getting going. And it's just rich, rich, rich in church history. And that led us to the, you know, to the just an unbelievably overwhelming place that we visited today called the Hagia Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest church. And man, what were your impressions?
I mean, you say that like it's just a fact, but I had a moment where I was like, I'm standing in the oldest church in history.
Like, of this nature, yeah.
Of this nature. And at one time it was the largest church of its kind, or the largest church. And then our tour guide went on to name the larger churches that came after it.
Right. And there are three. Mm-hmm. It's the fourth now. And
so I was curious, like, you know, what makes somebody just want to go, well, I'm going to build the next largest church in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much like ego power. And I get like, that's probably a blanket statement. There's something to be said about wanting to bring honor and glory to God.
And man, what a place.
What a place. But to know that it's, well, there's, can I just give some clues away?
Yeah, absolutely.
This church is not named after anyone. Mm-hmm. Specifically.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the Basilica of St. Peter.
Right.
It's a woman's name.
Right.
That means wisdom.
Yes. Sophia.
Sophia.
Means wisdom.
Sophistication.
Mm.
Is one of the words it derived from.
Mm.
I just absolutely loved that.
Yeah.
For no reason other than if we had to name the voice of wisdom, which is feminine, mm-hmm. female throughout the Bible.
In the book of Proverbs. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going with Sophia. That's a beautiful, sophisticated name.
Yeah, or that means, well, the church itself, divine wisdom.
Divine wisdom.
God's wisdom.
And so, when I learned that, it just made me really happy.
Mm, yeah.
I just was like, there's no ego in that. Like, that's sort of this mystical, which don't freak out, you know, by the name, by the word mystical, but the mystery of God, like resting in the mystery of God, that which we cannot understand, but by faith we believe.
Yeah.
And one day, maybe all of those mysteries they'll be revealed to us, but I sure like to try in the meantime.
Yeah.
And to know that this gift of wisdom is available to all of us when we seek God is, it was a little moving just to stand there and hear that and take it in. And it's just absolutely magnificent and beautiful.
Yeah.
Architecturally.
Yeah. It's had a long history, obviously. And,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, so Turkey at this point is largely a Muslim nation. So the Hagia Sophia, which was like kind of the biggest Christian church in the Christian capital of the world at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Has kind of been a lot of things, and it was a museum for a long time, but it's now a mosque,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of strange.
Yeah.
No less beautiful and everything. Just the history.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, some of these cathedrals in the world that you walk into where they have really been built and it took a long time and they're really thought out to bring majesty and glory to God. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're overwhelming. They're just magnificent. That this happens when we're in Israel and some of the places as well.
Mm-hmm.
when there's just so much history and right. so much human attempt to try to just tap into the mystery of God and create a space that brings glory to God, but also brings awe.
Yes. Yes.
And this is one of them.
And I've really thought a lot, especially this year. It's really hit me about the building of the church itself.
Mm.
And I think it really hit me this year when I learned that God didn't ask anybody to build a temple, a church, a place of worship for them to come in and worship him. It was King David who asked God if he could.
Mm.
And it just really struck me how much we have made it about the building sometimes.
Yeah.
And rather the purification of our heart in a place where we're supposed to come to give reverence and stand in the awe and the wonder of God and bring our worship. But yet I think sometimes we think I'm going to go to the building to get something. Get my deposit when we really... Because it was an interesting question. You were taking pictures and our tour guide started asking me questions about churches, and I was like, oh man, it's really complicated. But I found it so refreshing that she had such a innocent view on all of it. But so much history standing there. What were your, I mean, you've already kind of said it, but what were your impressions, takeaways?
I mean, I have known about this place since I began church, studying church history. And so it was kind of not a bucket list, I don't know that, but just like a desire, like I would love to see this place someday. The history is so rich and it did not disappoint me. Like, I love these kinds of spaces though, especially the ancient ones and just the ones that like reach back over unbroken lines of generation after generation, going all the way back to the earliest of early, church formation. Like one beat or two beats, just a couple of generations after the apostles. And so just, I don't know, just being in those spaces, overwhelming. I mean, I don't know, just awe, just reverence and awe. And it's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Not that there's, magic powers. It's just like, wow, this is a very, very, very important place to the faith that was handed down to me, the faith as we know it. And to just be there. I love those spaces. They just, there's not a whole lot to say. You just kind of drink it in.
Yeah, I mean, the building itself is so larger than life. And I hope that we don't hear some of these words and think irrelevant because it's so ancient.
No, not at all.
It's, it's, the history is so rich.
Yeah.
I mean, we got just like a smidgen of information, but it was like, whoa. And then the next 100 years, this happened. And then the next 100 years, this ruler came in and wiped.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 1600 year old church. And so, man, we live in the United States and we're like, this church is like 1300 years older than the country we live in.
Yeah.
So it's just, it is so much before Christopher Columbus sailed across the ocean blue, right? I mean, before anybody even knew that the lands were where we now live, this church was standing. And so
they had already covered up that mosaic about, 1200 times before Christopher C even thought about coming to the US of A.
Which it wasn't at that point. So, like, there's just so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not get into American history because we're not experts on that. Not that we're experts on anything, but it's just so much older and stretches so much farther back. And so being in a space like that was really awe-inspiring today and just kind of tapping into early, early church history here in Istanbul.
Yeah.
Was great as we just kind of get adjusted to the time and get prepared to really launch in and go all over Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have any other impressions of our day or the Hagia Sophia before we sign off for
today?
I do.
And again, it's from a hospitality viewpoint because we haven't really started the, you know, the New Testament stuff. But so we went to lunch today at this place close to our hotel.
Yeah.
And you gave me all decision-making powers with lunch. No pressure, Jill. And so I picked this place that's kind of endearing to our family.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids were little, I called the kitchen in our home, Big Mama's Kitchen.
Yeah.
We even made menus and such at times. And so the name was Big Mama's.
Yep.
We had to go.
Yep.
And, you know, we're walking down the street and people are just coaxing us to come in and eat, you know,
right,
showing us the menu stuff.
Yep.
But my original plan was kind of like, I'm going to be chill here. And the person that doesn't beg us to go in, that's the place I'm going. But the name drew me, but the man didn't coax us in.
Mm-hmm.
But as we walked in, he said, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
From the United States. We sit down. We're the only people in the restaurant. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
The music stops.
Yep, and it's all this kind of Turkish modal type of...
Which was fine.
Yeah.
We're in Turkey.
Yeah. It set the atmosphere.
And I have no expectations. Like, I'm in your country. Show me your ways. I'm not here to reform you.
Mm-hmm.
But the music stopped and on comes an American playlist.
Yeah.
And I just was like, how kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just those little things, you know? It's like they didn't expect us to notice. But they were just like, Americans are here. We're going to serve you really good, fantastic French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And play, you know.
Chips.
Chips, yeah. And play some music that you might want to dance to while you're sitting here eating your chips.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so welcomed.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like it does not take much to be kind to people.
Yeah.
And welcome them, you know, in a foreign, strange land.
Yeah. And this is a city, I did not know this, of 20 million people.
Mm-hmm. It was astounding to me, too.
Yeah. So, I agree with you.
Any last minute takeaways for you?
I think that's about it, other than I'm looking forward to our next post.
Yeah.
To show some of the stuff that we're talking about. And bring everybody in, and that's always so fun. Hopefully you are enjoying us gabbing about it and just debriefing with you and posting things that you can see what we're talking about. And we always love that when we're in Israel, and we're loving that now. We're loving that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are following along. And I guess maybe my takeaway, or not takeaway, but my constant request is to continue to pray for us.
Mm.
We got a lot of ground to cover, and we need to stay healthy, and we need to stay
awake.
Yeah, just a lot.
Yeah.
And even just being able to do this, take the time to do this instead of like mobile recording and everything. All of this is efforts of love, but efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just gotta keep our energy. And so thank you for your prayers.
Absolutely. Couldn't do it without. It's sort of the underbelly, the sustenance that just keeps us going.
Yeah.
The wind beneath our wings.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. That was perfect, babe. I think that's right. That's the right landing. That's the right landing. Thank you, everybody, for being the wind beneath our wings. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. And that's home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. And so check it out. Stay connected. Be connected. If you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And since this is chronological and DAB together, once you hit that button, there'll be a scroll bar and you got to pick where you're, which community you're calling into. Why don't you say that? You say that every day.
Yeah, you've got 2 minutes on the prayer line when you are finished. Hit submit, take your little finger and scroll it over to DAB or to chronological.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get to the right place, or you can use your finger.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
Burn some calories.
Yeah.
800-583-2164 for the chronological.
Or 877-942-4253 for Daily Audio Bible. And I guess...
if you would like to partner with us.
Yeah. Thank you. Humbly. Beyond humbly. There's a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is...
P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee. Say it with me. 37174.
And that is all for today. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
I love you. And... we'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Love one another.
Hello, DSBC families. This is Prosperity from Arizona. I am calling in to lift up in prayer everyone who has called in and requested prayers, especially Joe and Brian for traveling safe and protection. And also lift up Denise, who has been asked for fast recovery and a smooth surgery. And let us remember Renee from South Africa that requests for praying on her past, her exam, and finding success in serving the kingdom of God. So Lord, you are the mighty God who knows everything, everyone's heart, and has the power to heal and grant grace to those in need. I ask that you bring healing, blessing on Renee, healing on Denise, and safe travel for Jill and Brian. I pray all of this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, DABC family. This is Standing on His Promises in Pennsylvania. Ooh, KSD, you were kind of an answer to prayer for me today with your comment that as laborers of Christ, it's critical we be tested. It's a high calling of God. And boy, that just hit me. I'm a teacher, a middle school teacher of sixth graders in a Title I school, and it's just getting to be more and more of a struggle every year. And this year it is October the 8th, and I yesterday just wanted to give up. I just wanted to quit and go do something else and eat whatever, because I don't feel called. I felt just defeated and beat down and all the things. And it made me feel further away from God, and I was just struggling so much. And then last night I sat with some Psalms, and that helped me quite a bit. I woke up a little more refreshed. But to hear your voice, it just seems like directly coming from God that we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested, and it's in our response that we can move forward. So thank you for that. Thank the Lord for this platform that we can help each other even when we don't realize it. So I'm going to press on, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to let go of the control that I feel. I just struggle so much that kids don't want to learn. They don't want to be able to read. They don't want to be able to, they just shut down. So I can't shut down either. So thank you so much for that. And all of you who pray for others, God bless.
Hey, my wonderful DFC fam. This is KSD. All right, family, all together, let's gather around this fire and hold hands as we lift up our fearless leader, Lady Jill, and Pastor Brian, and Zeke, and all of the tech team that will be traveling. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this precious family, the Hardens. We're asking that you will cover them and keep them as they're in travel even now. Lord, we thank you for the mission. Thank you for their passion to not just get the word out, but to go and experience the word in real time as far as where your word was formulated. God, I'm asking that you would let their travels be safe, let their travels be secure, let it be without turbulence as best as possible. I pray that with the jet lag, that it would be little to none. I ask, God, that you would sustain their bodies, specifically Lady Jill, and I pray that you would just stabilize their internal parts, their minds, allow them to get the rest that is needed. And we pray for everybody there, the tech team, Zeke, everyone. God, would you let their time be refreshing, fruitful, productive, insightful, educational, and inspirational. And may your name be exalted in all of it. And at the appointed time, bring them back to us safely. Jesus' name. And all God's people said,